I'll bet you thought that Tiger Electronics was dead. Well, you'll be horrified to know that you're wrong. Tonight's podcast is brought to you by Harambe, the new Tiger handheld.
Tiger Electronics presents Harambe, the video game. Oh no, Harambe, the spawn of a city dweller has fallen into your cage. Drag the little pestilence through four levels of water and collect Peta's tears for a special health bonus.
Sacrifice yourself for an ultimate bonus as you use mass media to confuse the dog shit out of the peasantry still confused on which fucking bathroom to use.
Tiger Electronics Harambe, the video game. Located conveniently in the bloodstained and regret-filled aisles at your local Kmart.
It's the illest, son.
Harambe, the video game is seriously the bomb.
Once again, well, I sound real just excited and enthused, don't I?
Yeah.
Sorry. It's Good Old Gamers Podcast, episode Sexy 69.
Hell yeah.
August 10th, Wednesday, year of our Lord, 2016. And all that good shit. I'm Lyle McClendon. Joined as always, Mr. Brandon Gentry.
Hey man, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck. Why have you been telling me to go fuck myself?
Because like you look like you need it.
Well, there's nothing else I can say. Now I guess. Well, fuck you then. Anyways, sorry. I have a little burnout feeling this afternoon. I can't help it. And after taxing for about 2 hours on a goddamn sponsor, yes. I'm really fucking burnt out. So, we have a guest with us this evening to help us with our sexy evening of surprises, I guess.
I don't really know that sounds really good.
No, there's nothing that I don't think
sounds... Sexpert on sexy games.
Sexpert on sexy games.
Yes.
Something, that's what I was trying to get to. That's something that Brandon nor I really know.
That's a much better title than other people about. Give me.
Okay.
Nice. Maybe you invented a title.
Maybe I did. Maybe I did.
Maybe you did. Miss Shia McDaniel?
Yes.
Second time.
Yes, second time I've been on the show.
Go ahead and do some plugging, because we're...
Okay, so I do different things on the internet. I love video games and anime and all that kind of things. Kinds of things. You can find me on the internet at kawaiihousewife.com, where most of the time I keep it cute, but tonight I think it's probably going to come off mainly as creepy.
That's okay.
We're all about some creepy.
We've been known to be creeps at certain points in our life.
Yeah, but it's very different, I find, when it comes from a woman like myself.
I'm only on 85% of sex offender list, so I'm pretty normal.
Yeah.
Brendan's what some would call untraceable. Back to Florida you go.
Yeah.
Anyways. We're sorry. We all seem kind of a little bit lagged out.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a week. There's big changes coming my way. I'm changing shifts very soon, going back to school. And, yeah.
We got some other things coming. But we'll lay that on you here shortly.
Yeah.
But anywho, I guess we'll do what we usually do and go ahead and get started with a little bit of news. I think people just come to expect us to be as disorganized as we are
now.
I mean, if you've been listening
to
this
long. It's a signature of the podcast.
Indeed. Indeed. We may have already talked. I think we talked about it, but I don't think it was confirmed. But the NES Classic is going to have like some new display options and a save feature.
Yeah, we talked about the save.
We did talk about that? Okay.
Not the display, but the save.
I just seen that. Of course, it's going to have some new display, but I'm assuming it's going to have like a little display where you pull up the game that gives you,
date
it was released and a little bit of info about it.
Yeah.
Maybe even I was wondering about the manuals. I'm sure it'll have like an e-manual.
Yeah. If it has anything. Simon's Quest needs to have a digital manual that you can spill digital water on.
They need to just...
Or box was it?
I
don't recall.
No, it was Star Tropics.
Star Tropics, that was
Star it. Tropics had a piece of a map or something you put water on. Or something like that.
I don't recall.
Star Tropics had some wonky shit that without it you couldn't get past a level, and it was only in like the instruction manuals.
Yeah.
I don't remember what, but somebody will correct us. They usually do.
Yeah. You better do it.
Something I want to interject real quick. It's not really video game news, but just tickles me to death. Sony announced today that Ghostbusters has netted a $70 million loss.
Yay.
And no plans for a fucking sequel are imminent. Thank you, Space Jesus. Thank you. That makes me so fucking happy. I hope Paul Feig's just at home crying, punching himself in what genitals he has left.
You're just happy because you're a male.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
You sexist, chauvinistic pigs.
Apparently, the rest of fucking America's with me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
I think that's probably what's pissed me off about this more than anything is like
a lot the of people, excuse of it.
They present it as unassailable. Like, you can't be a critic of it without being sexist.
I'm yeah. Like, fuck that. I think that entire thing, like, watched the movie last night and, it really kept bothering me that, of course, the eye candy, Thor, was fucking retarded. Like,
every
why
male
did they have to make
that
him
movie,
that stupid?
If you look at it, just about every male role in that movie is reduced down to like an
yeah.
idiotic male
or
part.
They're bad.
Every fucking one.
They're
of
either
them.
Evil or stupid or greedy. I mean, it seems like, once again, like in the previous show that I was on, it would have been better if there was not a full female cast. Like, if it was a few male members and a few female members, I think it would have worked a lot better.
I think if they would have just had, like, a passing of the torch kind of thing instead of doing the fucking reboot and all that, it would...
Yeah.
Even if it was a bad movie then, I still could have appreciated the attempt a little more. It was just...
Some of the jokes were just so... Like, they tried so hard, and they were really awkward. Like, what bothered my husband very early on in the movie is one of the first jokes... was a queef joke. And of course, no one, like, the kids and stuff didn't understand that, but all the adults were like, did they just... Yeah, they did.
Not good stuff, man. I'm glad it bombed the way it did. And, I mean, I can say that I paid money. I went and seen it. The second time I watched it, just... I didn't even watch it a full way through, just kind of one of the things, you know, just kind of want to reconfirm my just see if there was anything I missed, essentially. I watched a bootleg version of it.
Because the second time you view a film, you can analyze it a lot better.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't as blinded by emotions the second time I watched it, because I already had it set in my head. I'm one of them people, I was just like, I just do not think this is going to be that good of a movie. And that's been my argument since day one. It hasn't been the fact that it was women or none of that. I'm just like, it's unoriginal. They're going to be retreading all the ground they've already tread on. And on top of that, they're using that sexist argument and all that.
Yeah.
They use that to the fact that, oh man, we have made a fucking shit turd of a movie.
Well, it's just...
And everybody's going to hate us, so we've got to have a creative way to combat that shit back. Mm-hmm. And like, fuck you, you're no longer a critic, you're a sexist piece of shit.
98% of remakes... are usually horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And I tried to watch that movie, like, I liked it okay. My kids really enjoyed it, so that makes me kind of enjoy something that they like. But I will say, the moment there was the cartoonized ghost, it filled me with this, like, chest-clenching rage for just a moment, where I just had to sit there, like, clenching the seat.
I had a powerful vision flowing through my head during that sequence. Like, you know the movie Scanners? Yes. I imagine the entire theater was just sitting there, and I'm like, oh! Like fucking Akira screaming, shit's like floating off the ground, everybody in theater's head just popped. And it was not even their fucking fault. But, you know, they just... I don't know, man. We're not... It's over. It's over and done. So I guess we're going to Ghostbusters.
On similar notes, though, few episodes ago where I talked about Berserk on the Dreamcast, I also mentioned the new Berserk anime, and I was like, it's off to a rough start.
Indeed.
Well, it's getting a lot better, so I mean, it's still using kind of awkward CG, and the art styles, it's not great, but you get used to it. But it's getting a lot better. It's starting to follow the manga a lot more. Like, the last couple episodes have been damn near perfect adaptations of the manga as far as the story goes. Something Berserk hasn't had yet, so...
Now, I haven't checked... I've looked at it. I have not watched it yet, because I usually go through... I mean, I have subscriptions to every kind of anime viewing site there is, and I haven't watched it yet, but is the animation, like, is it mainly cel-shaded figures?
For the most part,
because a lot of the series are kind of going towards that direction. Because
it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And this is, they're on a very tight budget. Berserk's entire animated history has been plagued with budget issues. And I would say if you wanted to watch it, don't start with it. It's still not the best place to start. It's got the original anime in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to pause it.
Yeah, hold on. Okay, sorry. We had to pause. I had a micro crisis that I just averted.
Yeah, what was I talking about? If you want to get into Berserk, either start with the 97 anime, even though it suffered a low budget. You can watch it all, the whole 97 anime on YouTube. It's like 24 episodes. I think even though it suffered from a really low budget and they removed a lot of the stuff from the manga, it had the best character development and directing. The difference between like the 97 anime and this one, other than it's covering totally different material in the series, is... The 97 material, even though it was done on a budget, it was done by professionals. And this current one is done on a budget, and I don't think the people doing it are really professionals, or they haven't really done this a lot. There's a lot of weird decisions that they made with it.
You were talking to me about some of the characters appearing, like in the first episode, that are later on in the manga.
Yeah, there's no point in putting like Isidro in the first episode. I'm like, that's later on. And then in the intro, like, music video thing, there's Shirake, the witch, little witch girl, and her mentor, Flora. They're in the music intro. I'm like, they don't appear for such a long time. This is, anime is only supposed to run for 12 episodes. There's no way it's getting there. I'm like, why is that there?
Now, do you know anything, just a few days ago, I saw something in the, I would call it Otaku News or Weeaboo News, however you want to say, about Berserk, either that a video game or a live action was coming out. Was it a video game?
It's a video game. If a live action ever comes out, I'll rip my dick off and eat it, because it's going to be horrible. You cannot do that.
That's it. When I saw whatever, I was like, oh, I wonder how Brandon.
I'm gonna consult him to make a movie just so I can see you eat your own cock.
Yeah. I fucking will.
I would pay money.
It'll be on YouTube.
I'll pay for the whole movie. I'll produce everything. Just do it.
Indeed.
Zac Efron will be the main character.
There's also.
God. He'll be the sword.
Yeah. But yeah, there's also three movies that cover the same material as the 1997 anime. They're a lot higher budget. Don't quite have as good character development and directing and stuff, because it's more condensed.
Yeah.
But if you can't put up with the low budget type stuff, it's a good way to go.
Yoke of the King, isn't it? Or
Egg
is
of the
right?
King. Egg and of the King. There's three different ones. And,
same thing.
Yeah. I know one of them's like Battle of Doldry, and another one. I can't remember the names. I got to re-download the English dubbed. I watched them when they first came out with the English subs. I like dubs a lot better. I don't like having to read the whole time, especially with a really action-packed series like Berserk. Like, it's really like hyper-violent and always going. I don't want to be taking my eyes away from that. But yeah, nice. We're a video game podcast.
It's okay. We're whatever anybody wants us to be a podcast.
We're the good old gamers, goddammit. The good old goddamn gamers.
God damn it. Sometimes I just like saying that, even though I shouldn't.
You should.
I rebuke that.
I'm going to have to rebuke that. The NX will release Mario, Pokemon, and Zelda all within 6 months of the NX's release.
So, nice.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what kind of Pokemon game or Mario game, but they're new games coming
out. I've seen where they're, Bethesda is talking about porting Fallout 4, Unreal something, and a couple other things to NX now.
Really?
Huh. Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
I mean, that would be kind of... I mean, that's kind of a big deal, I guess, yeah, to land Bethesda on your console.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I wouldn't buy those games on, especially on the NX.
Skyrim, I know, is coming out on the NX.
But that's good though. Anything that draws more people to Nintendo, I think
they need that third party.
I think
support.
The news I mentioned, Nintendo's fucking up by not having all three of those at release. They need a good, strong release. Like, people need to be lined up to buy this fucker.
They don't really need. I think something me and Nathan was talking about the other day. He was talking about them releasing Zelda Breath of the Wild on Wii U.
Don't do it. The Wii U's dead. I mean, I have Wii U, and I would buy it.
I mean, they are releasing it on both, but I'm just saying, I don't think, being that it's released on Wii U as well, I don't think that would be just such a strong idea for them to, you know, you said within 6 months, like, if anything, they're probably going to pick one of those three to be a launch title.
Yeah.
And I don't think they should pick Zelda as a NX launch title if it's going to be released simultaneously with a Wii U counterpart.
I might say this as a
they're
Wii
saying
U,
there's no difference between the versions other than like resolution.
As a Wii U owner who would like to buy this on the Wii U, I think it'd be smarter for them to not release it on the Wii U. Give people the reason, go out and buy NX.
Yeah.
Zelda's a system seller. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that every major console release, you know, that's their tactic. You didn't see them releasing fucking Halo 5 Guardians on Xbox 360 and Xbox One.
Right.
You don't see all these major exclusive games come out on older and new hardware.
Yeah.
And
that's,
you know,
what
all
sold
that
the
money
Wii was Twilight Princess. I mean, it was just like, oh my god, you can move this controller around as the sword. And I mean, that's why everyone in my school bought one to play Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess.
That's true. I'm going to buy an NX. I'm probably going to do launch for it. I haven't done launch for a console in 15 years. And I plan on probably doing this one, but the more it's getting down to the wire now, because, you know, they're expecting to release that thing at the Japanese Comic-Con or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're expecting Nintendo to debut it. Man, I hope to fuck they steer away from that typical Nintendo wonky-ass gimmick shit.
Yeah.
Man, I want to see like a true Nintendo console. I don't want to see.
Well, we already know this thing is eat up and gimmick. Hopefully it's good gimmick. Yeah. I mean, the Wii was good gimmick. Obviously, from the sales, it destroyed the 360 and the PS3 combined in sales.
Oh yeah.
So hopefully they'll find that magic again.
We'll see.
Speaking of Nintendo, the first 145 issues of Nintendo Power are available at
archive.org. I've seen that.
Yeah,
so
we were
excellent.
Already on it, like, the moment it was up.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I've looked through a few of them. It's just like, man, I don't know. It's walking down memory lane.
It makes you miss magazines a little
bit.
Yeah, it does.
Except if your kids are around, they're like, oh my god, that stuff looks so corny. It looks so scary. It's so old. And you're like, oh, shut up.
Oh, man, it's like that, which, I don't remember which, I can't even fucking talk. I don't remember which issue it was, but the Castlevania 2 cover of Nintendo Power, they had the censor, you remember that one, where it's Simon Belmont holding Dracula's head, and they went back and had to re-edit it later, and they put like a cape underneath the head, because it was scaring too many little kids back in the pussy day 80s. In which we grew up in.
Yeah, now people could probably see just like a
as long as
real person holding
it.
A real head, and they'd be like, meh.
He had the most horrific violence, but there's a pair of tits on there. My God, it's banned.
Shut it down.
Yeah. There's you can have the tits. It's no nipples. No nipples. Nipples are the devil's work.
Seems weirder to me to look at like a plastic doll looking thing than just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are weird.
Some Nintendo dickery, though. Some Super Metroid fans, they released their own remake of Metroid 2 to celebrate its 30th anniversary of Metroid.
They
and
got shut the fuck down,
Nintendo
didn't they?
Nintendo sent them a cease and desist. I'm like, fuck, why, Nintendo? They're not selling it. They're not making money.
You know why Nintendo's just pissed off? Because they didn't make it.
Nintendo is...
They've always been capital king at that shit.
Yeah, they are horrible cocks when it comes to copyright issues. You can't YouTube their shit. You can't do this kind of thing. And like,
you would rather murder somebody and have to have a legal battle in that area than have to go into a fucking legal battle against Nintendo.
Yeah.
I can promise you that. Their legal team's pretty much like all Chewbacca defense all day long.
Yeah, I hate that they're like this. They're missing out on so much free publicity, especially among the younger crowd who YouTube all day, people playing games.
Well, you figure that they would at some point be like, maybe this is getting people excited for Nintendo shit. You know, if you like this and want to explore more into the games, you're more likely to.
Well, it's one of those things to where before I buy a game, I usually go straight to YouTube to watch.
I do the same
some playthroughs.
Yeah.
Otherwise, because there's been so many where I've watched some playthroughs, and within 5 minutes, I'm like, no, not going to spend $30 on that.
Yeah.
Nintendo fails to admit that just looking at the back screenshot on the back of the cover art now is not sufficient enough.
Yeah. I have to employ, I will not buy a game if I have either A, played it myself, or B, seen enough video of it playing that I'm confident that
I was going to say, in the days pre-YouTube and pre-internet, think about all the times you've been fucking burned buying a video game.
More often than not.
Several times.
Especially I remember with GameCube
I spent
games.
$40. you know, I may catch a little bit of flack for this right here, but fuck the GameCube, man. I still
have a GameCube.
I do too.
And I liked Animal Crossing. That was awesome. There was a Pokemon Coliseum game. That was cool. There was a Legend of Zelda game. That was cool. Everything else that I played, every other game was
awful.
I liked
the Nintendo games, but that was about it.
Yeah, the Metroid games were good. I mean, it started the Metroid Prime, like the whole 3D.
And like Mario Kart.
Man, I actually like Mario Sunshine, and a lot of people were like, oh my God. And I'm like, it wasn't that bad.
Sunshine was good, I just didn't like it.
It wasn't a Mario game, really.
You know, I mean, Mario is not like a super mature thing, but it was like too far down the kiddie side of things. What else? You mentioned Mario Kart. I didn't even care for Double Dash. But it's all right.
I liked it because now when that game came out, I was really little, like, I was pretty young, and I could never play video games or whatever with my brother. He would never let me, but when that game came out, he was like, here, we can be in the same car and switch off, so that was really cool for me, Double Dash, because we could both play together and not against each other, because there was no way I would win, ever.
I guess I'm just kind of biased a little bit, because GameCube was kind of like the turning point for me, where I'm just like, to answer tonight's question partially, or this week's question, that the GameCube was kind of like a deciding factor, is what made me stray away from Nintendo a little bit.
And at that point, I was still, even though it was dead or dying, the Dreamcast is what I was on.
See, I was a big Dreamcast supporter. I kind of felt like when I would talk to people about Dreamcast, I kind of felt like the crappy old drunk that would be like standing at the edge of the woods, like, you kids go in here, you're going to get butchered. You know? Yeah. Like, the naysayer.
Yeah.
That's how I automatically felt to anybody when I'd be talking about Dreamcast. I'm just like, it won't rape your parents. They're like, I believe otherwise.
You know, I had a real funny conversation, like I'll take that. An epiphany in a conversation with our buddy Juice the other day. He was talking about how he was talking to his little cousin, who, you know, is younger, you know, like 11, I think, watches YouTube of people playing video games all day. And his cousin was watching someone play Gmod. And he's like, oh, hey, I got that game. We can play that right now. And his cousin says, nah, I'd rather just watch them. And he's like, my God, what happens when all the people who can play video games are dead? I have a whole generation.
Video games just cease to be, and it's just people like watching archive footage video games.
Part of that I don't understand. Like,
this
me
is
and my
the
husband,
new retro.
We got into kind of like a thing to where, like, okay, I definitely like watching a playthrough, or if I'm having trouble, I'll kind of look at a walkthrough, but I'm not just going to watch people play games all the time. And for a while he was, and I asked him, I was like, what's the point of that? Like, wouldn't you rather play the games? He's like, oh, it you don't understand. So then later, I kept watching these videos of people traveling around the world eating food. And he's like, why are you watching people eating food when you're not eating food?
Same fucking difference.
Well, why do you watch the video game thing? And he's like, oh, God.
Me and Emerald have had the same debate. Because I'll be watching like some little game thing that's like cliche or something. She'll start watching like these the Japanese miniature cooking videos. Have you seen any of them?
Does she know cooking with dog?
Yeah.
I know cooking with dog just because I love hearing that guy say mayonnaise.
Oh, yeah.
Mayonnaise. It cracked me up. But not, that's not racist, right?
Yes, it most definitely is. And he should be ashamed.
No, it isn't. Watch Cooking with Dog and you would understand what I'm...
That name is racist.
Yeah. 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 Well, the funny thing is the narrator talks, but the narrator is the dog. The
yeah,
woman
Francis.
That cooks okay. never says anything. Yeah. It's just only the poodle that sits there while the woman cooks.
I just want to see her pick the poodle up and dip in a pan of grease one day.
Well, they do this thing.
I immediately wanted to make a really bad joke.
Do it. We're all about bad jokes.
I was
going to
say she was Japanese, not Chinese. I was like, oh, no. Oh. Pull back from that one.
Mm. Oh, man, they do have like the dog meat festival over there in China.
One dog meat festival, yeah. Now, in Japan, they do not eat dogs or cats. Yeah. China, they do. Korea, they do eat dogs. But it's very rare, and it's kind of dying out. Like, it's
Russians
not normal.
Eat dogs, too, though. So.
I really, like, the emotional side of me is like, no. But, like, the logical side of me is like, pigs are just as smart as dogs, and I eat them all the time.
I think animals are animals.
I get
if
hungry enough,
like
I will
that.
Fucking eat whatever you take out in front of me.
Have you ever been to a Chinese buffet?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Are
I live
you
in
sure
a Chinese
buffet.
Have you
dogs?
Looked at us? Delicious fucking dogs, all I can say.
Now, in Texas,
General So Dog.
Yes.
In Texas, there are so many Chinese food restaurants or Chinese food buffets.
And no strays.
Well, a Chinese food restaurant did get in trouble that we frequented quite often.
Was it rat?
And puppies. And me and my brother were like, oh, that's
puppies.
So sad. But at the same time, I mean, if it tastes good and you don't tell us.
We literally were eating Chinese buffet one time and my friend was just... You know, I'm like, he's like nitpicking little things. Like, if it's not fried, he's not eating it, you know? And I'm like, eating this random meat, and he's like, man, that's probably cat. And I'm just like, dude, that's some balling-ass cat. That's all I can tell
you. That's
what,
if meat is meat, to me, I don't think you can really pick and choose. However, I would not want to eat, like, a domestic animal.
Yeah, I'd eat a person if I had to.
Yeah, that's what I always say. I'm like, if I need to, I mean, I will.
Our buddy Juice is... He's ate himself, hasn't he? He auto cannibalized.
Yeah,
you know, there's a recipe that you can make that is it basically tastes like human meat. It's like a human burger, and it's made with different things, and it's supposed to be like an identical flavor. And this comes from a man who did eat human whilst with a tribe in Africa. And he was like, no, this is pretty legit. Like, this is really close.
I don't know why, but I just had the greatest idea for a horror movie pop in my head. The idea is it's just some guy that targets uber arcade nerds. And he has an arcade in his basement. And he lures these nerds in with the notion of training them to be the very best. And all he does is fatten them up and kill them and eat them. That'd be badass.
Know, Mountain Dew and Funyuns.
Hell's Arcade. Y'all don't rip me off now, goddammit. I shouldn't have told my idea out loud.
Writing it down.
Last bit of news I have is...
I got two more things.
There's a Quake Champions trailer for the Quake Champions game coming.
Quake Champions was the NX port I was talking about.
Really?
Yes, I heard that was one on the list.
Rumored or confirmed?
Rumored.
Okay.
But it's like some of the developers were talking about being ported over to NX.
It looks awesome, the trailer for it. It's got the classic weapons, it's got the fast, like, momentous gameplay. You know, Quake's all about having that momentum going, just kind of like old Doom. You know, Doom was kind of, they were inspiration. So,
yeah. You're essentially running through the levels at some point.
Yeah, you're just, you know, going forward, fast momentum. You know, you need heavy metal in the background. This is really badass looking. Looks really faithful, even though it's like new and shiny. So it looks promising, and it's gonna have unlimited weapon loadouts, unlike the new Doom. You know, or not loadouts, but unlimited weapons. Like you can hold all the guns, like the old Quake and Unreal Tournament games. So looks awesome. That's all I got to say. Check it out.
The only two things I had left was Aladdin. The Lion King and Jungle Book, like the original Disney Virgin Interactive games, mm-hmm. are available now on Good Old Games, GOG. Okay. If you've never played those, like especially Aladdin. Dude, Aladdin for Sega Genesis is one of my favorite games,
yep.
probably of all time. Probably my top 10. Such a good game. It's like playing the cartoon.
It is.
It's a beautiful game for a Sega Genesis game. It's like all cell animated.
Now, is that like the same game that happened to be like on the Game Gear?
I think so. I think the Game Gear and Genesis versions were the same.
Because I played those.
Super
I played
Nintendo
the
was
Gear.
Similar, but it was a little bit different.
Yeah.
That's one of the few
like
cases
throw
where the
apples and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the SNES version was worse, which is one of the very cases of that being true.
Well, I'm pretty sure the Lion King on Genesis, I thought, was better than the SNES one.
I never played both.
I never played Jungle Book. And the only other thing I had is something you would be interested in. There is a company coming out with a 40-plus game cartridge called Penultimate for the Commodore VIC-20.
Huh.
It's fixing to come out by the end of September.
Okay, cool. How much is it? Does it say?
It does not.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Tynemouth Software has teamed up with The Future Was 8-Bit. It's an all-in-one cartridge.
Nice.
It does say it's fairly priced at $64.99.
That's a pound.
Pounds, yeah. So
$80.
70, 80.
Here. At least 80.
Yeah.
It's got like Galaxian, Jungle Hunt, Load Runner, Lunar Leaper.
That's still
Moon
not bad.
Control.
If you were to buy the entire library, it would cost you way more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm all for those multi-card games that you can get for that kind of cheap.
Speaking of the Commodore VIC-20. I think that's a good segue to our next last bit of news.
Well, we have something.
A bit of a bomb.
Behold, our power that is powerful. It's kind of last minute. We've been back and forth, and if you listen, you probably know this, and if you know us, you definitely know this. Been back and forth on how we're going to do it and what we're going to do, but it is official. Plans.
Semi-official.
It is beyond the talking stage, put it that way.
Actions are being taken.
We're looking at the place. We've got it in mind. We're just trying to secure the date. But Good Old Game Fest 2 is on. Yeah. Yes. Good Old Game Fest 2 is on the horizon.
Yeah.
Like very soon.
Yeah. Tentative date of October 1st.
That's what
Not
we're
Not official
for.
Yet. We'll make it a Facebook announcement when it's official. The colon VFW because the Civic Center is still not
a little
doable.
Too out of our budget.
Me and Lyle both moved this year, drained our funds, and I'm going back to college too.
I'm
also
buying
draining
a new
my funds. Yeah.
So
weird. But the
all
plan
kinds of broke.
Is we're, whatever we get from the good old Game Fest 16, 10% of it's donated to the VFW. That's just what we're doing because
that's
the least we can fucking
needs,
do for them.
Yeah, exactly.
The rest of it is going straight to Game Fest 17.
Bringing you the Game Fest that we envision.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, Alabama doesn't have a big retro gaming convention like everybody else has.
Yep.
You know, Nashville's got, or well, I mean, retro gaming, I say that loosely because Southern Fried's more arcade and pinball, which,
yeah.
I mean, that's a form of retro gaming. Nashville's got a Grand Ole Game Room Expo on my birthday this year. I'm going to go. Pretty excited. They got that shit in November. Alabama, you know, we don't have anything.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what me and Brandon think we're here for.
Yeah.
that's kind of what we want to do is throw the big poobah, grand poobah of conventions in Alabama.
And we tossed around ideas for like a Kickstarter for the big one and stuff. I really hate just like asking for money. Like,
yeah.
Give me money because...
But it's also giving back in that instance because, like, I know a lot of the Birmingham, Huntsville, and Hoover con goers who go to all the anime / video games / whatever sci-fi conventions, and there's plenty of them that would probably be interested in it, and most of them like to make these things happen, especially from the ground up.
Yeah. You know, we may still do something like that, but we're going to see how this works. Because not only are we going to need a lot of money for the venue, we're going to need money for more equipment. Because me and Lyle only have so much. I'm expecting this year, we got to scope out the size of this place. I'm expecting 30 to 40 televisions with consoles hooked up, arcade cabinets.
Tournament area.
What's that?
A little tournament area.
Yeah, we'll be having tournaments. Smash Brothers for Wii U, I think, is going to be our...
Yeah, we got to... I'm kind of like, what do people tournament play nowadays? I mean, Smash Brothers, I know...
yeah, and I think that's going to have to be the big one.
Yeah, Smash Brothers is pretty much like... From the very first Smash Brothers, that's the tournament game you play at LAN parties.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had a couple people ask me about Street Fighter V. I don't know.
I don't have any experience with that.
I haven't even played Street Fighter
V. Me either.
I don't know the PS4.
What about any of like the Tekken games or the... I know there's the new Pokemon Tekken type
Pokken.
Game.
Pokken. We might do that.
Yeah, Pokken might be good.
I want that so badly. I go to GameStop and play it on their demo and
really?
Cry. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having another Nidhogg tournament. I'm getting in on Nidhogg.
Nidhogg's coming back. So much Nidhogg. Oh, so much Nidhogg.
Well, we had a
y'all need to get together with us one evening, and we will get drunk and
make a mess of that game. Drink and we laugh. I showed one of my Korean friends who he's not super familiar with anything here. I just handed him a controller. I'm like, figure it out. And we played, and he thought that was the funniest game he had ever played.
It is amazing. Look on our page sometime, our Facebook page. We got a picture of the guy holding the trophy from it. It's got a little guy fencing. So it was a blast playing Nidhogg as a tournament.
I even enjoyed watching everybody else play
it's
it. Because
so
you're
fun.
Just like,
you start rooting.
Yeah, you like. You root for both sides. Cause
you root for the underdog.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to do Brawlhalla again, because the way they've changed the game is going to be really hard, because I don't want to spend a lot of money to unlock everything.
I will have another Mario speedrun on site for everybody to do. I'm going probably up the ante and probably... I thought about maybe... I've seen some people setting up just kind of like their own little speedruns. I've seen a challenge where they have three TVs set up, and it's just kind of like... You do this level in Mario 1, you go over here, then you got Mario 2, you got to beat this level, and then the final cap off is Mario 3. I don't know how I would readily do that right offhand. I'm pretty sure they were using PCs, because you're not going to be able to set everything to that fucking level every time. Yeah, but Mario speedrun will be a factor. So
I might even
bring back the Bass Tournament. That was pretty popular. We had pretty good... output on the Sega Bass Fishing Tournament last year.
We were playing that just like a few months ago.
That's great.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have some of that. We're going to be trying to do some more console giveaways. Last year we gave away 3 or 4 consoles. We'll try to do something like that. I haven't run into just like a Buku console deal like I did last year. If you got something you'd like to donate, we can give you tickets and that kind of tournament entries, that kind of thing to trade off there. We want to have prizes.
Giving you personalized swag.
If you got any kind of
some of our beard hair.
Yes. Yeah. If you got any
locket of beard hair,
semi rare consoles, games, or arcade machines, we'll work out a deal if you let us use those for play. Especially arcade cabs.
I would love to have a wall of cabs. Between me and Brandon, I have 2. Brandon's got 1. We got a couple buddies. I'm expecting we'll probably have about 5 so far. I'd like to have about 10.
Yeah.
If we could just have like 1 wall, that'd be great.
Yeah. And, you know, if there's enough interest, we might do like have like a Kong golf or something, you know. Highest score gets a prize.
That'd be badass.
But yeah, October 1st, hopefully. And
we'll know by Friday.
Yeah, we're going to go.
But you won't know by next week, until next week, but we'll know. Well, actually, you will know, because if we know by Friday confirmed, well, then we'll make an official Facebook announcement come Friday.
We're also going to have a Pokemon Alpha and Omega tournament.
Yeah, I think we may try to do Alpha and Omega, possibly X and Y. Maybe we can do like a survey to see what games people have, and then we can just...
We could draw that.
See from their majority roles type thing.
Yeah. Last year was cool, but it was too much of a fucking pain to replicate this year.
Yes, I hacked many a game save file to do Red and Blue tournament on PC last year, because I knew there weren't that many people with Red and Blue to play. So I'm like, we got to do it on the PC. And that way I knew everything was legit.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was really good fun watching that. on the, because we had two monitors back to back, so it was like battleship style.
Mm-hmm.
And just going back and forth, watching both sides, seeing the to and fro of those tournaments was a lot of fun. But doing it for more than 10 people, I don't even want to do it again for 10 people. It was so much work. So that's not going to happen again. As much as I would like it to, that's not. But we'll do the DS games, the 3DS games. So we got our official Pokemon professor here. So.
Yeah. There's definitely like easier ways to do it.
Speaking of, do you want to plug the league?
Yeah, we here in Coleman have a league every Saturday, pretty much. 10 to 12, and sometimes it goes past that. It's fine if you want to keep playing. To play the trading card game and video games if you want to bring those up. If you have the cards and don't know how to play, I'm teaching people how to play the trading card game. Or if you do know how to play, you can just sit down across from someone who has their deck ready and, you know, just meet new people, share your love of Pokemon, all of that stuff.
And it's at Valhalla.
Yes, it's at Valhalla Comics and Collectibles every Saturday. I would check Valhalla's Facebook page, though, to make sure it's going on every Saturday, because something may come up and I may not be able to be there. I put every week, come this Saturday, these times for this. So just check their page.
Yeah, and, you know, if you live around here, if you haven't been there, Valhalla is just a great place. The owners are fantastic. You couldn't ask for better owners than them. They've worked with me on so many things. I would like to have them at Game Fest. We're not going to have the room in this venue. If we do the big one next year, I already talked to Michael, and more than likely we'll have Magic tournaments and stuff there, too. And probably Pokemon card game tournaments. So
yeah.
We just don't have the room for card games. Card games take a lot of room.
They do. They do.
So that won't be this year. But yeah, go support them. Even if you're not into Pokemon cards, they got Magic, they got comics, all kinds of board games. I'm a big fan of supporting our local businesses like that. I guess that's it for all of our news, though.
That is it.
It's time to get sexy. Sexy time.
Too late.
Can we use? Can we use?
Hot and steamy.
Yeah, we'll use it because. Bona Factory Films proudly presents to you a sexy segment of the Good Old Gamers podcast. It almost sounds like a sexy Italian baker.
So who's blowing their load first here?
Sploosh.
Mine's gonna be pretty short as usual.
I wouldn't expect any less. Wham, bam,
or,
thank you, man.
Or any more.
Or more, yeah.
I'll
I don't get it. All he does is thrust three times and snore. Sorry. Like I speak from experience.
Yeah.
Aw.
I tried to play, and I played very briefly because it was so horrible. I could not get very far into it. Lula 3D for PC.
Now, first of all, when it comes to the sexy, sexy video games that we're talking about tonight, were y'all playing American video games?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought from the screenshot over here that I was looking at on your PC. This is going to be interesting, because I know very little about the American
video games. That is completely Americanized.
Yeah,
right away I was like, okay, what the hell did y'all play? I have no room to talk. Like, my games are fucked up.
Yeah.
But
mine is along the lines of, like, Porky's, the movie.
Yeah.
It's a comedic romp. Go ahead.
Lula 3D is 2006 by CDV Entertainment on the PC. Came out here in Europe and I think in Asia. I'm not sure about that. But, man, it's universally reviled by critics. It is awful in every sense of the word. The game starts off with a horrible pre-rendered cutscene, and all the graphics in this game for 2006 are horrible. They look worse than, like, I would say it's in between N64 and Dreamcast, that level.
Yeah.
Like, Shenmue blows it out of the water in graphic terms. Not in terms of boobs, though.
Kind of like The Sims?
Almost.
Would you say like The Sims or like Grand Theft Auto 3?
I just hate to tie anything professional to this, like, even by comparison.
It's like, are their hands one solid shape? Do you know what I mean?
No, they're not. They did at least do that. I know one of the characters' necks looked like a fucking worm. It's like it was always shifting. Like, or a snake. It's always wiggly.
He had spinal bifida, Brandon.
You played too much of the game than you ought to have.
Yeah.
He had spinal bifida, Brandon. Don't make fun of him.
I'm going to make fun. That's what I do.
It was one of the bifidas.
Yeah, bro, you got any bifida in me?
Let me score some at bifida, bro.
Anyway, it starts with a horrible pre-rendered video where the main character, Lil, is doing a striptease on this in some shitty-ass club. And, like, everyone in this club, they're either dry-humping each other or getting a blowjob.
It's probably called the Iron Horse or some shit.
Or they're just oogling at her, like, in a cartoonish manner. And then, at some point, this, like, big-wig businessman comes in, fires up a cigar. This little basset hound just runs over to him and starts humping his leg, and that's like the end of the cutscene. This is kind of a point and click adventure game except you control a character in a 3D world. So the gameplay is basically inspecting objects and picking up objects and talking to people. The gameplay is like 100% voice acted. I will give it that. And the voice acting is not that bad. It's better than Shenmue.
What?
Which, you know, that's a very low bar.
How is an American, like, porno video game essentially better than Shenmue? Is she like, I'm going to fuck some sailors?
Pretty much. I mean, the scripting is worse than Shenmue by far, but the voice acting
is better.
Is better than Shenmue, which is a very low bar. Shenmue had some horrendous voice acting.
Where do people like to get tattooed at?
Hello, Rio.
Hello, Rio. Oh, Dio! How are you doing today, Dio?
But yeah, your main character you play is Lula, and she is a porn star slash producer. Well, not really, director, I think.
Director.
Well, you start off the game after that shitty cutscene. She's like in one of those directing booms, I want to say, with a camera or whatever. And there's very obvious porno sounds happening in the background. People moaning and fucking, but it doesn't show it at this point. And she's on the phone with a guy, and you don't really know what's happening, but you can tell, like, some shit's going wrong. And your first objective is to... You're in, like a Playboy Mansion area. That's where they do all these pornos at. And this scene you're at is at the pool. So you got to go inside this mansion and talk to Brian, her producer. And I brought in a little clip so you could get the gist of the plot.
Brian, what are you talking about?
They're gone, damn it. I've already looked upstairs. The room looks like a bomb went off in it. Ooh. There must have been an amazing orgy up there. Now all three of them are gone.
You're crazy. Christy must have had another of her temper tantrums. And now they're all three sulking somewhere here on the premises.
Temper tantrum? If that was a temper tantrum, then you should hire a therapist for all three of them. Damn it, it's 3:30 already. I can't send half the cast home right now. That'll cost us $8,000.
If that's your only worry, let's find out what those three are.
I love that shitty guitar solo.
We don't
solo
have time for this adolescent silliness. I'm your producer, and I say we have to shoot now.
Okay, just calm down. We'll find those three. I'll go up and take a look.
That must have been an amazing orgy. I've never heard anybody fucking talk like that. Yeah. Somebody be like, there's a bunch of people fucking upstairs.
I think they combusted. They're gone.
Oh, shit.
Oh, damn it.
So you go around and you got to find out what happened to these triplets. And controlling Lula isn't too hard. At least it has half-assed decent controls. But, like, a lot of stuff in the game is interactable and... Most of it serves no purpose, to my knowledge. And you can pick a lot of things up, like you can pick up this various magazines laying around. all kinds of shit. And anything she picks up and puts in her inventory, she instead of Hammer Space, do you know about Hammer Space? Hammer Space is a fictional extra dimension in which, like, anime characters put their massive weapons in when they're not using them.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's basically just, you see in games and in some anime, like, when they sheathe their weapon or whatever, it just disappears. And that's it goes into Hammer Space. Where, for this game, she has Cleavage Space. Her inventory resides in between her tits.
Well, that's real world.
Yeah, except that, there.
That's where every, like, female Valkyrie puts their fucking, like, smoked hams.
Except, yeah, except at, right? She's putting entire, like, VHSs and pillows and... Yeah. And
she doesn't Netflix and chill, she VHS.
The bags of holding.
Bags of, yeah. The cans of holding.
She doesn't Netflix and chill, she VHS and fucks.
Everything's so sweaty and gross.
VHS and fucks. I like that. That's the trailer trash version of Netflix and chill.
Exactly. It just takes them, what, 5 minutes to peel the sleeve off of the fucking cassette tape. It's like...
Nothing like a night of Netflix or VHS and fuck in the back of Newports.
Gosh. That makes me feel dirty thinking about it.
Yeah, I just, like, shifted in whiskey. My seat. Or my seat.
Got a bunch of Club 400 whiskey, pack of Newports, some VHS tapes.
Some Arbor Mist.
Boy, the fucking is going to be supreme tonight.
Hey, nothing gets me hard like watching Danny DeVito on VHS.
As Batman, the Penguin.
Is it Batman Returns? Mr. Cobblepot. Mr. Cobblepot. He's like... fucking leaking black shit out of his mouth and stuff.
Oh, he has that, like, weird flipper hand.
But yeah,
the things I could do to that hand.
I mentioned the long wiggly neck. It's like the minivan, one in the front and four in the back.
That's too much of a party. That's too much of a party.
Or not enough.
It's a hospital visit.
Try explaining that one at the hospital.
No, you just look at them and be like, I don't want to talk about it.
Danny DeVito put his fucking penguin hands in me. He's like, this man's high.
You just go in there and show them, they're like, Danny DeVito?
Yes. Yeah. Fifth one this week. God damn it.
Like, I can smell it from here. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, the Brian, the producer, you just heard that was he has the weird wiggly neck. He's just talking to you, and his neck's just slithering like a snake below him. I don't understand why or how that happens.
He's an anamorph.
That's probably
exactly what happened.
The most frustrating thing about this game: not only are there a shitload of interactable objects that do nothing, but you have to do everything in this game in the right order to progress. If you don't like. Pick up the certain pillow and see a bloody spot beneath it. You don't get the right dialogue to advance further, or if you don't get if you don't watch a specific VHS tape, even though you could figure out without it what's going on, you still have to do these specific things to advance further, and it's a real pain in the ass. So it wasn't long I got frustrated and just quit because it was so awful and uninteresting. I got to the point where I've got to the security VHS footage, and I saw some men in black masks kidnapping these triplets. And at that point, the guy directed me to talk to somebody in San Francisco, and I looked all over for a fucking number, and I couldn't find it. And I probably missed one step somewhere to make that option available to me, so I was like, fuck it, I'm done. But at one point in all my explorations, I went to the bathroom, and in this bathroom is a, like, really steamy stand-up shower, and there are two lesbians, like, making out in it, and she had some really funny commentary. It gives you the option, like, when you see these events, you can go press, you can mouse click on it and observe it or watch it. And she usually makes some commentary, and this is what she says.
Ooh, they're just so moist.
Very nice.
There's also another character that apparently she knew and probably plays a role later on But there's some other porn character walking around topless the entire time, and she had the angriest set of tits I've ever seen.
Angriest?
They were angry. I can't really describe it in any other way. They were angry tits. They were like, they were angrily perky and ready to fight, and they had photorealistic nipples like pasted on top of them.
Ew.
So it was really awkward considering like the near N64 level graphics with photorealistic nipples on the tits. And they weren't just like this normal nipples. They were like, they were misproportioned nipples. So like, I mean, they were large, but like the nipple portion to the areola ratio was like massive, like a baby's bottle.
Oh,
that's even a weirder fucking way of describing it. I done took one shower today. I'll have another now.
Excitement or what?
A little bit of both.
Dread. Feelings of dread in the basement.
If they had more polygons, she probably would have had dicks on her tits, basically, is what I'm saying.
Kind of like Laura Croft had the old triangle titty thing going on. Like, yeah. She'd stuff a box of Reeboks up underneath the shirt.
Yep, except with weird photorealistic nipples.
That is weird.
It was awkward.
Way like, to go that extra like, mile, what, I guess, is, though.
I was questioning my own sexuality, because I was like, am I supposed to be turned on by this?
Am I turned on, or am I appalled? Do I touch my wiener or do I punch it?
Do I slam it in the drawer to teach it a lesson?
Never will you get erect over such a fallacy again.
Fallacy.
So many words talking about dick in that sentence just then.
Yeah, there was.
But yeah, that's it for Lulu 3D. Do not play it. If you really have to see it, look on YouTube.
I guess I'll knock mine out real quick.
I downloaded 1.6 gigabytes of film.
Well, there's no need for me to download it. You just told me the logistics of the game, I guess.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
You know you're going to download it later. Don't lie.
Yeah, probably going to
rub it. That sounded amazing.
Rub it raw to it.
Brandon, can you write down the coordinates of the angry tits lady?
Brandon, draw me a map out. I have work to do here. It involves both hands, so I can't draw shit. Anyways, I played Leisure Suit Larry.
Classic.
Magna cum laude. Cum.
Yeah.
C-U-M. I don't see how they made it past like the ESRB on a bunch of shit. Which is funny because they meta like talk about that in the game a lot.
Really?
Leisure Suit Larry came out in 2004 on PC, PlayStation 2. I don't think it came out on Xbox. I have it on PlayStation 2. It was released. Sierra was the publisher, of course.
Yeah.
It's the seventh. Like, Leisure Suit Larry is an old-ass series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the original. It's one of the first, like, point-and-click computer games. Am I not?
I'm pretty sure you're right? Correct.
And I'm pretty sure the old ones don't have full-on nudity.
No.
And shit in them like this one does. This one's, like, ups the ante. It's got a bunch of dirty language and a bunch of nudity, which is... you know, what we're all looking for here tonight. Sierra published this, but Universal, like Universal Interactive, Universal Studios, you know, King mm-hmm. Kong and shit, put this game out. Pretty much the whole point of the game is you play as Larry Lovage, which is Larry Ladder, I think is the original Leisure Suit Larry's name. You play his nephew, and it's all about him going to college. Well, the whole point of this game is go to college, bang women, and be cool.
It's just not the point of life.
It's just like the point of life, and yeah, it's just yeah. like actually going to college. Like, you go to college to hopefully get ahead and get laid while you're at it.
Give ahead, you know, yeah, same thing.
True that. Whoa!
I just need a duck, because I had it.
I just seen it.
The throne saved me.
I just peed a little.
My dog almost just murdered Brandon.
That's cool. I want to die.
Me too.
I played Lulu 3D.
Maybe there should be a good old gamer suicide pact later on.
Maybe there should be.
You got that Slossberg?
I do.
We're going to die tonight. But anyways, the whole point of this game, like I said, is to get laid. You start off, and you're pretty much what's happening... is it starts off and you have a reality show come to your campus called Swingles.
which produces some of the funniest fucking dialogue in the game. This game is an awful piece of shit. And it is frustrating, but some of the just shit that people say in this game alone is worth the price of admission, in my opinion. You start out, though, and there's a Swingles game show. I wish I'd had more, like, sound clips ready, but this reality show comes to your campus, and pretty much the whole point is to... You woo women and get a token of affection from the women you sleep with. You carry this back to the Swingles people, and that's one step closer to getting you on the TV show, which is eventually how you beat the game. You go on the show, and you're given an ultimatum of picking one of three women, and whichever one you pick, you know, affects the ending. But the point of this game, when you go to talk to a woman, you initially go to speak to her. And you go into a dialogue scene where you're talking to this girl, just making bullshit up, pretty much. And you have a little screen on bottom where you're guiding a sperm. Well, this sperm swims, and anything that's red, you don't touch. It like, if you touch it, it makes a burp or fart noise. And you have a little heart meter. And the key is, you want to have this heart meter filled up to where it's green. That makes, you know, you're having a good conversation if you're doing that. You got this little sperm around, and you hit things that are green and dodge everything that's red, and Larry just says stupid shit that eventually gets the affection meter up. But you make it through the talking levels, you almost instantly go to a quarter round, where you have to play quarters. You use your left analog stick to pull back and push forward, and that determines like your wind up and your toss. You play quarters, get them naked, you do all that shit. There's a trampoline game that plays like DDR. You're on a trampoline, and they'll be like, up, up, down, down, left, button, button, down. And you have to hit it in sequence and all that shit. There's also a mini game where you mix drinks for these women to get them hammered.
To Cosby and, them.
Yeah, to Cosby them.
Some Cosby politics.
And Larry pats himself on the back every time you do it. You just hit buttons in a sequence that tells you to do. Yeah. You do all that shit, and pretty much... it starts out, you start out with three different choices of women. You got Sally Mae, which is like your...
The home person, like the home loan person.
Well, she's like your typical southern bumpkin. Larry, you do all the things, Larry, you talk, you play quarters, you do all that shit. You get her to bed, and she's talking about taking her clothes off, and Larry just instantly throws his clothes off. She's like, oh, she looks at his dick, and she's like, you're not Jewish. So, I can't sleep with you. She leaves. That's the first girl you sleep with in the game. Second one, his name is Ione. And she's like a nerd who is just like, you know, like bookworm type girl. And he's like, Larry's pretty much like, I've seen enough Hollywood movies to know that the bookworm girl's hot. You just gotta do this. So he pretty much gives her a makeover, makes her like a whore. She's wearing like a cheetah print. Like little tube top thing, like got real shitty blonde hair and like a little mole, and she's like, well, I got to be a virgin, so Larry, you can't fuck me. And she pulls the strap on out and she's like, you fuck me with this. And Larry's like, okay. And the whole cutscene is in the dark, and you can hear her like having sex with a strap on, and you hear Larry being like, yeah, you like that, don't you? And there's like crunching. She's like, what is that? And he's like, nothing, I'm gonna keep going. He's like, you ready for the real thing? You ready for some real wiener? And she's like, are you eating? And somebody turns the light on his roommate, and her roommate's like, are those my fucking Funyuns? And he's sitting there eating her Funyuns and got this strap-on strapped to a teddy bear, and this teddy bear's like railing her. So it like gives this girl fucking like mental damage after this.
What?
You don't get to fuck her. And then the next girl is the horror of the game. Her name is Luba. They refer to her as the community bicycle in this game. She has some of the best fucking sound clips of them all. I'm going to look. There's one of the first things you have to do is like a trampoline game with her. You jump on a trampoline with her, and if you fuck up your sequence, I don't know why she says it, but it gets on my goddamn nerves. She's like, way to go, Tabitha. And she says that like over and over. That's one thing that sucks about this game is in the mini games, like they use the same fucking dialogue constantly. If you're playing quarters and the girl misses, Larry constantly be like, your breast puts you at a natural disadvantage. Watch how I do it. And it literally takes like 25 fucking seconds for that line of dialogue to load shit. And for him to say that. So you're just sitting there. And then he'll say it and it'll be like an awkward pause for 3 or 5 seconds till it goes back to the minigame. But Luba says shit like, way to go, Tabitha. And then if you're doing good in the minigame for some reason, she says, yeah, work that rectangle, you nasty slut. And like, there's all kinds of like really well, fuck me gently with a goddamn chainsaw. That is another fucking line she spews out in the game. You end up fucking the band girl who like, you just talk to her, and she's like, I gotta call my mother and tell her we're engaged. And she's like, her eyes are rolled back in her head. She's like, if you try to leave me, Larry, I'll cut your cock off. Like, all demonic. Shit like that. He breaks the fourth wall in the game. He goes to, like, sleep with the band girl. And he's just like, wait a minute. I gotta break it down. Did you hear he looks at the screen, the guy's like, talk to me, Larry. And he's like, this is my video game. She's in a fucking marching band, for Christ's sakes. He's like, really? And he's like, you're going to like how this one turns out. Just go for it.
Huh.
And there's a lot of fourth wall breaking. Everyone plays fucking quarters. One of the funniest lines in it is the Swingles Man, which is just like a little floating head of a guy talking. And it's like a commercial for the show, I guess. He's like, Swingles, Swingles, Swingles. He's like, maybe you can be lucky enough to sleep with this woman, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's telling you, when it does that, it gives you game hints. And he's essentially telling you, like, one of the hints in the game is you have to go to the female sorority and talk to a girl inside the sorority. And he comes up and he goes, Swingles, man, would totally be all in this sorority if it wasn't for that goddamn restraining order. I thought that was the funniest line. You know, fucking a mob boss's daughter. You end up fucking like a doctor and then a cheerleader. And at the end of the game, you get to pick one of the girls that you've previously had sex with to be the permanent one. And that is literally it.
Huh.
You go around burping and farting on stuff to collect secret tokens and play those shitty mini games I just listed off. There's really not. It's not a game to get in debt with. It's just like you literally go around try to sleep with women. That's all you do.
When can we expect your speedrun record?
Hopefully soon. I've about played through it. I got like 4 more women to put through the ringer.
Hey, that's never taken me very long.
It hasn't. I'm surprised I've lasted this long, to be honest with you. That's quite a feat in itself.
I understand. You got us.
So that's it.
You got us some odd things.
Oh, yeah. See, this makes me feel a little awkward because y'all have each only talked about one game, and I have, like, 8 games.
Pick what you want to talk about.
Well, each one is interesting in its own, but I'll go ahead and start with the very first questionable game that I was introduced to, younger than I should have been. But it was Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Okay.
On the Nintendo 64. Did y'all play that?
Yeah.
Indeed.
It's classic.
Indeed.
The Mountain of Poo.
Yes, that, and I will never, ever forget how you have to get the bumblebee and the extremely large-breasted flower together. And then when you finally get them together off-screen, you just hear all of these sounds coming from the flower and the bee.
Nature.
Yeah. So that one always has an interesting place in my heart, simply because I thought it was really, really funny, but I have not played it as an adult, so I'm not sure what I would think about it now. Besides that, I'm going to take you boys on a little trip, all the way to Japan, and, it's the home of very, very questionable, shameful things, really.
Tentacles? Tentacles involved?
Oh, there's all kinds of things
shitting
involved.
Dick nipples?
Shitting dick nipples. Those are the worst Ooh. Kinds of dick nipples there are.
Now, mind you, some of these games, I'm not sure exactly if they're Japanese or American, but these are kind of the popular adult visual novel dating simulation games. On Steam, you can find several of these games, and you can also download some of these from Google Play and just off the internet in general. They sometimes have their own websites. But the first one is called Honey Pop. And this one is basically an adult hybrid tile matching and dating sim game. I kept seeing it come up on my, like, recommended games on Steam, which may tell you something. I don't know. And I looked into it, and basically what it is, it's like Bejeweled, or, yeah, that's what it's called. It's Bejeweled, where you, like, match jewels together. Well, you go on dates with women. So the woman is to the side of the screen, and then you have an entire side that's just dedicated to all the tiles. Now, every match you make, it's like the little sparkles from the match go over to the woman, and she usually blushes or makes certain sounds or things like that. So the more matches you make, the more she gets aroused, I suppose.
Makes the old vagine froth.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
God damn.
Oh, gosh.
That was awesome.
Just imagine, like, your rabies infected vagina just growling.
Ooh. I think you want to not go for that. I think that may be, like, an STD.
Oh,
stay
shit.
Away from that.
Okay.
It's like, the foam, an like, tomorrow. When the ocean's, like, been rolling up. Sea foam.
But, yeah, like, if you have a successful date, it basically ends with a scene. Now, these are, like, 2D pictures and stuff, and of course there's some voiceovers and things like that, but if you have a successful date, it goes to a wildly inappropriate scenes of the characters having sex. So
are they interactive?
No.
Oh.
You can leave your hand on your mouth,
you
Brad.
Just watch it. So that one's actually really popular. I don't know why it's as popular as it is. It's more questionable in my opinion.
Because it's Candy Crush porno.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
That's the easiest
porn
there is. I think
that one's actually an American-made, simply because the diversity within all the characters. I think that may be American-made. I'm not sure. The next one, which is also on Steam, is called Nekopara. And
I think I've seen that on there.
You probably have. This one, once again, is a visual novel. You don't really affect anything. You're just kind of there for the ride. And basically, the story is you want to be a chef, and you open your own cafe, and two of your cats, who are humanoid, cat-maid girls.
Furries?
Half furry.
Anthropomorphic.
What's yeah, is it Felicia? Is Felicia the name of the cat woman off of Darkstalkers?
I think so.
Kind of like
it's like they have cat ears and tails, and they're just like super, super cute. Well, they stow away, and you just have all these like little interactions with them. Now, an interesting feature of this game, with the wider range of kitten girls you can get, you can go into the settings and adjust boob jiggle.
Nice.
So
always the maximum.
As now, these characters are not 2D. These are like 3D cel shaded characters. But yeah, so if it's like minimum jiggle, it's like, oh, they can move and not much is going to happen. And if you do maximum, it's just like, oh my god,
that is dead or alive beach volleyball times yeah, like, a thousand.
Yeah,
that one. That one MMO I played, Scarlet Blade.
You were talking about that, yeah.
Back in one of our original episodes, they had the boob physics, and one of the characters I talked to was like, right tit just started gyrating angrily for no reason.
Oh, gosh. Stay away
that
from that.
That tit is casting a spell.
Yes. No, I will say, in a lot of these, the fact that you just said the thing about furries, there is kind of a common theme in a lot of Japanese dating sim visual novels like this. There's a lot of anthropomorphic girls. There's also one on Steam called Sakura Spirit, which is an entire series. And say, I think the first one, you're like a judo champion who is worried about his match. So he goes to this temple, and all of a sudden he gets like transported into feudal Japan, and he's surrounded by all these large breasted, falling out of their kimonos, half fox, half women, like kitsune deities.
Okay.
And this one, like, this one's 2D, and every shot of any of the girls, there's just so much cleavage. So much. It's wildly distracting, but I think it's supposed to be. I don't know those
tits or Larry the Cable Guy's mooning me.
Yeah. Sometimes you're like, boobs or butt.
Get her down.
A few of the other random ones I saw on Steam that may be worth just checking out because I thought the names were funny was Bonsai Pecan. That one was in the adult simulation games. I'm not sure exactly what that one's about, so check it out and let us know what it's about.
Yes, please.
And then there was, of course, Beach Bounce Remastered.
Oh, I'm all about that one.
Which
I don't even need to see it.
It basically looked like a beach volleyball game with lots of bikinis and boobies. So after those, we're going to get into some more than questionable games. Now, this next one is oddly, wildly well-known and well-liked. This game, you can play a milder version, or you can play the 18 and up version. This one has a kind of a choice. And it's called Katawa Soju. This is a visual novel, basically, where all your suitors are disabled. So,
like Professor X is willing up trying to lay the charm down.
So basically, you're this character who has lived a normal.
I will wheel my ass over there and mind fuck you to oblivion. Yeah.
You're a character who has lived a normal life up until now, and all of a sudden you are diagnosed with some kind of heart defect. So you're sent to this school for disabled children. Or disabled, you know, high schoolers, whatever. And you meet this cast of characters. Say, one of the main girls, she has prosthetic legs. So she has these bouncy legs. One girl was horribly burned in a house fire.
But was it a sexy burn?
It's not shown. Like, her hair kind of always covers it. One girl is completely deaf and mute.
Oh, that's the girl you want.
That's just not right.
Good Old Gamers Podcast does not endorse sexual exploits of your choice.
One girl has slightly deformed arms, and so her sleeves are always kind of like tied up. And there's a few others. Now, right away, most people are like, oh my god, this sounds horrible. This sounds absolutely awful. Well, if you just go for the storyline, it's actually pretty sweet. It's a nice little storyline. A lot of people do like it. But you can go for the 18 and up edition, which has some incredibly awkward sex scenes.
I can imagine.
Do they include like a three-boobed woman?
No, it's just, I mean, if you're curious, you can go to YouTube and look up some stuff. That's what I did because I did not play that version. And so I was curious and I just sat there silently for probably about 30 minutes afterwards, just being like, I don't know. So there's that one. That one's more of the what the fuck are you talking about kind of game. After that, there is kind of a funny game. We've been watching the second one. I'm not sure what the second one's name is, but the first one is named Galgun. And
that sounds familiar.
You probably heard about it.
Is it on Crunchyroll? I might have scrolled past that.
I'm not sure. You may be thinking of Gunslinger Girl or a few of the other Gun Girls. But this one's Galgun.
That's a fairly common genre, I guess.
Yeah. This is a rail shooter that was developed by NT Creates. And
I think I know what you're talking about now.
Basically, you're a character who gets shot.
Don't you shoot Cupid arrows or something?
Yes, you do. You get shot with all these arrows, and it creates a situation to where you become irresistible to the opposite sex. And so
that's my day-to-day basis.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, well, not opposite, more same, but that's okay.
Take what I can get.
Yeah. Hey, I prefer it that way. So you're irresistible, and so when you go to your high school, girl after girl will just run after you in almost like a rabid frenzy. And basically what you have to do is shoot them with pheromone shot arrows that give them ecstasy, as they call it, or whatever. And if you shoot them in different areas, it's going to affect them differently. So you can usually kind of like go over their body, and there will be like a Japanese phrase that just pops up. So it's like, oh, you want to shoot them in the neck or in the chest.
You're not playing as Bill Cosby in this game, are you?
It doesn't show the character. I'm not sure. It could be. So basically, like, you shoot them, and after you hit the right spot, or shoot them multiple times.
The G-spot?
Yeah, they, like, fall to the ground. Now, this game has an interesting feature. It has something called the Mama Kitagamen, which basically means Mom Arrived screen. So this game provides you with a panic button. So in case someone walks in while you're playing this game, that looks pretty bad when you're playing it. I mean, it looks highly questionable. It would be a sit-down, talk-at-the-table-for-a-few-hours kind of game. So if you hit the Mama Kitagamen, it reverts the screen looking like an extremely retro game, like Earthbound-type retro pixelated game. So it looks like you're just playing this really old game and not what you're really playing. So the fact this game comes with a panic button, I'm like, this should be in a lot of things. Like, there should always be a panic button.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm going to code this and sell it to Pornhub.
It really could be very useful in lots of things.
Of course, that doesn't help the fact that you got your dick in your hand.
I was so excited.
Why are you looking at Hello Kitty with your dick in your hand?
Don't judge me.
The dad comes in. He's like, how are you making the keyboard so goddamn sticky playing Earthbound?
Ooh. I like those pixels, Dad.
That guy is Dad. I'm sorry.
I miss you.
So that's an interesting, that's the only time I've ever seen something like that in one of these games, which just gives it some kind of special thing about it, is that one panic button.
The only other game I know with a panic button is Steel Battalion, and it's panic button, it's a mech game, and it's panic button ejects you out of your mech so you don't delete your save game.
Oh.
Your save game got deleted when you died.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
So, one of the next games I have to talk about is kind of questionable. I'm not really sure if it's considered very sexy. I guess it could be in some instances. I'm not sure if you guys have heard about it, but Yandere Simulator. Have y'all heard about this game?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, Yandere is like, it's a personality where a girl may seem really sweet and kind and maybe a little shy, but then they can turn very quickly aggressive and deranged. So basically,
every woman
sounds like
I know.
Every relationship I've ever had.
Well, that's women. It's just like real life. So basically what this game is you play this girl who has a crush on your senpai, your upperclassman, and she's so shy, and she can't have any interaction with him whatsoever, because she just gets too, I guess, caught up. She can't breathe. She has heart problems when she's around him. So she just watches him from afar. Well, if she sees anyone, male and female alike, getting too close to her precious senpai, she can dissuade them, or horribly maim or murder them, or just do really questionable, partially sexual things, like binding them with rope. just all sorts of things you can do with her, but you can't let Senpai see you. Like, you have to keep this side of you completely secret. So you have to go about this game just trying to lure your enemies into a corner or a different room.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, and do away with them. And then whenever Senpai's around, you're like, oh, you know, you're so sweet and kind, and there's a girl that's, like, shoved in the trash can in pieces behind you.
Kind of reminds me of the egg lady we had to run in with.
Yeah, I know.
She's kind of sweet, but I knew somewhere she had a barrel full of body parts.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like she's always out there waiting.
She is.
Watching. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a very interesting game that a lot can be done with it. There's a lot of panty shots that you can, like, kind of take in the game. In fact, I want to say that there is a game where the whole point of it is just to go around taking panty shots.
So it's like Pokemon Snap with panties.
Yeah, pretty much.
Awesome.
So that's interesting. Interesting.
Camel Toman, 100 points.
Yeah.
Level up.
So there's so many games like that, and there's actually lots of hentai kind of games. We call them hentai or ichi, which both basically means pervert. Yeah. There's all sorts of games that involved demons, half humans, tentacles, whatever you can think of. There's games like that out there. I have not played them, but
not officially.
Not officially. I haven't played some of these other ones officially either. Just, you know, I just know about them.
He just knows somebody who plays them.
I heard rumors before I came over here.
Yeah.
So yeah. The ones that I do play, though, quite often, and this is a little shameful, is they're called otome games. Now, otome games specifically mean, like, you're a girl surrounded by, like, seven guys.
I've seen that film before.
Wait.
Bukkake, I believe, is what it was called.
Bukkake. No. I should have maybe explained that one a little better. No.
You just made my stomach turn.
Do you know in Japan you can go to like a noodle place and get bukkake noodles? It just means like everything covered.
Yeah. Noodles. So,
bukkake is used for like food and stuff too.
Maybe next time I go to Waffle House, I'll sure my hash browns bukkake.
Now, mind you,
instead of scattered and covered, but bringing bitches out bukkake.
Now I got a good excuse later. My wife walks in. I was like, I was trying to find cooking videos.
My husband did not know what that meant.
I didn't know that's what I just associated with the horrible porn.
Well, he didn't know what that meant at all. No, he did not know what that meant. And I was like,
did you just show him?
No. I explained it to him. There's a lot of things where I'm like, oh gosh. And he's like, I don't understand. I was like, I don't know if I should tell you. And he's like, well, how do you know? I'm like, I don't know. Internet? 9-gag, I guess. I don't know. I learn things. But it's basically like you find yourself in a situation. And there's usually a cast of characters that you can get close to. You usually pick one to kind of like take care of you, and you get to know them. In these games, you have a choice. Like, you have several choices. They'll ask you a question, or it's like, what are you going to do? And you can pick between four things, and it affects how they're going to feel for you. Now, some of the really popular ones are the Shall We Date series. They have 17 games released.
Wow.
You can get them on most app stores. I've played 14 of the 17 games. And mind you, there's like 7 characters in each one. And for most of those, I've actually played every single character.
Nice.
Yeah. I have a problem. One of my friends picked my phone up and they're like, why do you have all these Bishoujo, like, anime guy games? You have like 10 of them on here. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, have you even played them? I'm like, I play them all every day. You have to get your daily tickets. She just set my phone down and like pushed it towards me like, no. Do you have Germex? Because I need it. These games are fairly tame, except, you know, if you do or say the right things and you get together with whoever you chose, there's usually a somewhat awkward sexual scene for them that, like, the things they say, and this is all, like, 2D, so it's just, like, these pictures that kind of go by, and they're not explicit or anything, but you can hear what they say, and it's just, I don't know who does their writing, but they need to get someone else, because it is awkward.
I love you. Put a corn cob in my ass.
What? You don't know this side of me, but now you do.
That was a delicious brunch we had. Now put a porcupine in my dick hole. Like,
what?
Now, there's like all kinds of, just crazy, crazy games. I really like some anime that has monster girls. So they're like half monster, half humanoid girls, which is questionable by itself. One of the recent series, Monster Musume.
It depends on which half.
Ooh.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If you could see the things in my mind right now.
It's not a chick with goat legs, is it?
Oh, yeah. No, it needs to be a goat with chick legs. That's the deal, is it has to be reversed. Because, like, Monster Musume, it's always like the top half is female and the top half happens to have, like, these gargantuan chesticles, and the bottom half is spider or snake or any animal you could think of. They do have games that involve monster girls that's actually really popular. Now, it's not a video game, but it's more of a tabletop game. And I hate to say, like, I've played this game so many times. It is called Tentacle Bento. I actually got this game as a wedding present because I wanted it, and so my husband bought it for me. And basically, the point of the game, it's a card game. You are a tentacle monster, and you have invaded this university, and you have to capture as many girls as you can.
Nice.
And the deal is there's three different cards you have to play. Like, where did you capture them? What were they doing? And who did you capture? So it's like, I captured Kitty Von Braun while she was in the gym, like, being cuddle buddies with so-and-so. Just weird little sayings. And you kind of read out what each card says, because it is absolutely ridiculous. Now, I usually win this game, because I'm always like, I've got 30 girls over here, and everyone else has 5.
You need to play against Bill Cosby, then. Like, I think he might have to.
They can't play if they're unconscious, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't drink anything.
Yeah, I may have to bring that game so y'all can see it.
I'd be great.
And play it, because it is a incredibly unique game. And it's fun, although afterwards you may just be like, what did I just do?
What the fuck just happened?
I've done worse. I've done worse.
Does it involve bukkake?
Given her
now, saving. Brandon, we thought you went blind for 2 weeks after that. We don't need a repeat.
My eyes got pregnant after that.
He looked that lady out of the Bible, turned to a pillar of salt.
Now, definitely hearing, gross. Like, y'all's games, there are some blatantly explicit things in a lot of the Japanese games, but the American sexy games take it to a different level. Now, that may be weird for me to say, because Japan involves tentacles and random phallic things.
Japan's got really weird, like, ethics regarding it.
Yeah. Japan is always, I'm a huge horror fan.
Yeah.
And, like, J-horror, man, some of that shit is so fucking intense.
And I love how they use mostly conventional effects.
Oh, yes. They do. Like, have you ever heard of the Flower of Flesh and Blood, the guinea pig series? They're torture films out of Japan, and they're strict, like, fucking torture. The second one is so realistic. It's a guy in a samurai suit. Real cheesy, but he systematically takes a woman apart from head down. Like, starts off like cutting her hand off, and it shows them sawing around her wrist, and you see like meat, muscle, and vein. It's the most brutal shit you will ever see.
Japan takes it like they have this personality,
ultra realism,
that is just different from everyone else's. I really like the Japanese horror as well. I have like Tales of the Dark, the Macabre Chronicles.
Yeah.
And We watch a lot of the Japanese horror, and they really do, like, they do a lot of torture stuff, like putting needles into
Audition?
Eyes.
Have you ever seen Audition?
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
It's like, they have such a way of one-upping our shit.
It's just so weird.
They're very strange. Tetsuo the Iron Man movies. Have you ever seen any of them, Brendan? I think you would like that. It's really fucking bizarre shit. Like, the first one, this dude is... he's pretty much getting beat up by these guys. Long story short, he finds this woman laying there that's half dead. And for whatever reason, he goes to have sex with this half-dead woman.
Yeah.
And she has a big drill that comes out of her shit and drills him in the stomach. And it slowly makes him turn into, like, a robot.
That just made me think of Teeth.
Over the course of this whole movie. Oh, Teeth. Love yeah. Teeth. That's a great movie. Vagina Dentata.
Yeah.
Like, I knew people who believe that was real, too.
Are you fucking serious?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Because
they had like a teaser trailer that was like set up like a documentary, and I had these people show me this, and they're like,
yeah.
Oh my God, can you believe this is real? I'm like,
I know what you're talking about. My brother, I had to have been like 16 when this movie came out, but he was like, you'll not believe what this movie is. And so we're in a hotel room, and my mom was going to get ice or something, and they had the trailer on like the pay-per-view, you could get the trailer, and that's what it was. And throughout it, you hear this, like, chattering sound.
Yeah.
Like, shh, shh. And my mom walks in, and it's, like, going through the movie. She's like, what the fuck are y'all watching? Oh, my God. I leave the, room for 2 minutes, and what? I don't even want to know. Oh, God. I don't know. It's just, it's so interesting, the fact that Japan does all this, like, really out there stuff. But all of their sexual stuff is censored.
That's what I was going to say. Like, all their porno has the censor blur over it.
And it's gotten...
Violence isn't shit to
them. They've gotten more strict on that in recent years. Because, like we mentioned Berserk earlier, the 97 anime...
Mm-hmm.
Full-on nudity.
Well, there's no genitals, but there's nipples, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, there will be a lot of anime still that has nipples. However, in the 90s, even, like, the silly ones, like Rumiko Takahashi's Ranma 1/2, or things like that, nipples galore, like it didn't matter.
What I found out was, you know, 97 anime, it was TV aired, and back mm-hmm. then the laws are fine, that nipples are fine.
Yeah,
this new one is TV aired and there's no nipples. And there's an entire like show where one of the main characters, Farnese, is topless the entire time, and it's just really weird. Like, the nipples are on the CG model, they're just not colored in.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I guess they're gonna color that in on the DVD release.
Yeah,
but it's just awkward.
It's just so weird because they have a very large, like, porn industry, and just really questionable, naughty industry. But it's all censored. There can be no genitalia. And that's actually why they use a lot of tentacles and things like that, because that can go
Replacing.
Yes. That is a large reason. Not the only reason, because even hundreds of years ago,
the fisherman's wife, the wood engraving,
wood prints still showing up like stuff like that. So it's ingrained in the culture.
It strikes me so strange with Berserk, because it's such a graphic and violent series. You know, the main character, Guts, was like raped at the age of 9. He's got a kill count in the fucking thousands at this point. He's killed children, women, and he cut off his own arm with a blunt sword to try to save somebody. That is all kinds of this horrible, violent, awful shit happens in the series. It's a very, very dark fantasy. But nipples, no, we can't show them.
Yeah.
Nipples are the devil.
They are. I mean, nipples are the reason despair exists.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
The Bible even said that.
I'm sure it did.
Right in one of those passages somewhere.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
You got any other games you want to tell us about?
That's about it. I mean, that just kind of showed a little bit of everything. Some of the more popular ones, some of the more questionable ones that y'all may want to look after, you know. I will say, though, there's a fantastic anime that all of y'all should check out. It's called Boku no Pico. I think that many of you would really enjoy it, so check that one out.
Okay. Well, before we move on, I'll leave y'all with some sexy advice. When the Red River flows, take the dirt road home.
Oh, God damn it. God damn it.
All right. Do we want to do a true tale?
God damn it. Yeah, I guess. Tonight's Alabama True Tale is a true tale that me and Brandon both endured. More so, a little more Brandon than anybody. Me and Brandon have known each other for about 27 years now, give
somewhere
or take.
Around there.
Long, long ass time.
The vast majority of our
longer than we've known ourselves, essentially. Yeah. And we went to school together, all that good shit. Well, in middle school, me and Brandon had a somewhat trifling experience with a fellow that we will leave his God-given name out of, but we will just refer to him as what we referred to him in high school. We used to have a quarry with a guy named Meatloaf.
Yeah.
And Brandon, why don't you start out where this? Tell us where this Meatloaf.
Right. Well, this guy, Meatloaf, was kind of a bully. He was like,
he should have been 10 years old and in sixth grade.
Yeah, there was three of these people in our class who, you know, old been enough to drive to school in middle school. Way bigger. Most of them, two or three of them, were major assholes. And this guy in particular was inbred three times over, probably.
He had a hat. Okay, this is a little side note. I don't make fun of anybody for their monetary stance, and I don't make fun of anybody for being poor or anything. But when you got a guy picking on you, and then he proceeds to brag about a hat that his dad made him, you can't help but just rebuke, you know?
Yeah.
He, his dad, the Dallas Cowboys were still a big deal at that time, and his dad made him a Dallas Cowboys hat out of an old tire.
Oh.
And I remember this other fucking bully at school was teaming up with him, and Brandon said something to him about, "Your hat's about fucking tired." And this other fucking bully's like, "Well, I think it's pretty cool."
Aww.
And I was like, "Look how they're teaming up."
Oh, yeah.
Trash and trash combined still makes trash.
Yeah, the two of them together have a reading level of 5.
Dude was in the 6th grade and still couldn't fucking finish the little engine that could.
You shouldn't be in the 6th grade and be like 6 foot benching 200 pounds. I mean, there's something wrong there.
He got to where he would pick on me and Brandon. And it slowly, like, his methods of picking on us just kind of slowly devolved. Like, they amped up for a little while, and then they kind of... He started out punching us and shit, and then pushing. And then what really broke the fucking camel on the back is he got where he put his fucking finger down in your ear.
He'd bite it into a, like, point and stick his finger in your ear.
Yeah. And,
God.
Me and Brandon had come home and told our parents about all this shit. And my dad was pretty much talking to me and Brandon both, and he was just like, "Hey, he does that to you again, knock the shit out of him. Punch him." So, we're in class.
It was in the gym.
We were in the gym. We were on the bleachers.
Locker room.
Were we?
Yeah, it was locker room.
Anyways, he comes in there picking on us. He grabs Brandon and rams his finger down in Brandon's ear. And Brandon's like, "God damn it, Meatloaf!" That's where the first, like, one of the first accounts of him being called Meatloaf come into play at. Brandon just rears back and just knocks the fuck out of him. Hits him so hard that we all get in trouble. We go to class.
Yeah, we swap back and forth looks.
Yeah. They're like, him and Brandon are fighting.
It wasn't so much as a fight, because I've been in fights where, you know, fights generally go to the ground.
You're slapping each other back and forth, essentially.
Except with fists.
With fists, yeah.
We were playing bust knuckles, except instead of knuckles, it was faces. Mm-hmm. Like this, back and forth, pow, pow, pow.
Well, nothing got said about it. And we went back to class. Well, in the next class period, me and Brandon both had Hassenbein, I think. That's a whole other story about the day I was chewing gum. And we're sitting in class, and they come on with announcements. They're like, "Well, I'm Clinton, Brandon Gentry need to come to the office."
We get in the office, and we got one of our hard asses at our school in there, like, grilling us.
He's assistant middle school principal, isn't he?
No, he was a help, his Coach Cup.
Okay, his help he was coach teacher. At the time.
Yeah, he's still a coach. But Coach Cup pulls us in there, and he's interrogating the shit out of us. And I just pretty much told him, I'm like, look, you know, both of our parents have told us if this guy picks on us, hit him back. He's obviously older than we are. He's obviously bigger than we are. He fucks with us all the time. And our fucking Coach Cup, I will never forget having to try to refrain from laughing in some authority's face. He was just like, that's fine and all, that's fine. And he starts putting his fucking fingers together. He's like, now, boys, let me ask you a question. What about this meatloaf? I just remember the way he fucking said that. I'm like, me and Brandon both are sitting there trying not to fucking die laughing in his face. And Brandon's like, that's just what I call him when he pokes me in the ear.
I ended up getting suspended after that.
Yeah.
For and, calling him meatloaf?
No, for getting in a fight.
Oh.
For punching him. And he never really messed with us again after that. I'm pretty sure the last time he messed with us real good is that day he had that fucking... He had a wart on his finger and kept trying to poke me, and I fucking cracked him in the hand with my book and split his wart open. He was bleeding everywhere. I was like, that's what you get for fingering your mom, you fuckbag. Go home, take your goddamn tire hat. And fuck Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, he was a douche, but I'm pretty sure like life has dealt him justice.
I seen him in the grocery store not too long ago. He had about 6 kids, and they all fucking look like Jason Voorhees.
Very fitting, considering him.
Post-drown Jason Voorhees, yes. Mind you. So, yeah, fuck that guy. Fuck Meatloaf. Not the singer, the dude. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Fuck all forms of meatloaf other than the food, I guess. If your name's Meatloaf, fuck you.
Oh.
Well, I guess we need to answer our
question of the week.
Yeah.
I'll pull up questions if you want to start answering.
My answer.
Do you know what the question of the week is?
Yeah.
Maybe. What's the question of the week?
Were you a Sega or a Nintendo fanboy at heart?
Oh, yeah. For me, it was Nintendo.
Yeah. That was mine. That was NES is what I got started on.
Yeah.
SNES after that.
Well, I was all about Duck Hunt. Like, I was 4 years old with the gun on the screen playing Duck Hunt.
But y'all were that
old. Oh, yes. Super Mario 3 was one of my first real... A Boy and His Blob, too. That was one of the first games I played a shit ton of.
I was a Nintendo kid as well. First major role was that's all I got. That's all I received. And second part is once I knew about Sega, I was just so sold on Nintendo that I'm like, fuck it. Why would I want that? I've got this Super Nintendo over here with fucking Earthbound and all this other cool shit. Why do I want that?
One of the main things that I used to use in my argument is I had friends that were strictly Sega Genesis, and they'd be like, well, this is so much better. And I'm like, throw your copy of Mortal Kombat 2 on your Sega Genesis and let me put mine on SNES. Let's see whose is better. Hands down, all the time, it's going to be SNES.
Yeah, SNES overall had the better ports of games and way better music, hands down.
Sega music.
And around here, like, the Master System was unheard of. Like, I never knew about the Master System until after the Dreamcast. That's the first time I ever heard about it. Like, what the fuck is a Master System?
I knew about the Master System back in the day somewhat, but I didn't know what it was. Just simply because the place I used to rent Nintendo games and TurboGrafx games from had Master System games. And I rented one when I was a kid and could not figure out why I couldn't get the fucking thing to work on the Genesis.
On Facebook, Heather Grant says, Nintendo, we had both, but I had way more fun playing my Mario games than anything from Sega. That, and I like the Nintendo graphics more. Fair enough. Nintendo. I think the Master System beat out the NES, but it just was not ever popular.
Turbo beat them all out.
Yeah.
And you see which way it went.
Mark Reynolds says, Sega, Mortal Kombat at its finest. Finish him.
Oh.
Gonna have to disagree with
me. Sorry, yeah.
That's fine.
SNES all day long.
I know you got some answers on your show.
I do.
I can look you up if you want me to.
Yeah, do that.
Hold on. Someone we're all familiar with, Mr. Mike McDaniel. He said I was.
Who's that?
Yeah, who is that?
That douche.
Have you ever heard of this guy?
What an asshole.
Yeah.
I was a Nintendo kid all the way. I had Nintendo Power and its posters on my walls. I rented games all the time, but didn't own a whole lot of titles. Getting Super Nintendo was awesome because I was looking forward to it thanks to loving the NES so much. When Sega got into the biz, I had nothing against them. I just couldn't ask my family to buy me a whole new console when I could just ask for more SNES games instead. That didn't stop my spoiled-ass little brother from asking, though, and he got a Genesis eventually. It was good, but I loved Nintendo religiously by then. I think that was main reason for a lot of people is just, that's yeah. just what you had, and a lot of people who got into Sega, they got into it because the Sega was the cheaper console. So parents go, you know, I don't know anything about these goddamn video games. That one's $100 cheaper. Go with that one.
Yeah.
Alex Mann, certain relation.
I can't. I'm listening. It's not even letting me pull up my okay. own fucking post up.
Well, he says Nintendo because of a man named Law McClendon.
Ah, yeah.
Well, I think we might have a winner there.
Law McClendon? I'll be happy to win.
Shit. No, Alex.
Oh, I lose again. God damn it.
You always lose.
No kidding.
Alex, we're going to give you a lame game.
Hell yeah, Alex. You win. I'll actually see Alex tomorrow so I can give him said lame game.
And I know Dustin and Bill... You've been waiting a really long time for your stuff. I'm getting Lyle to sign the poster tonight. I finally got a container for it to ship it. It's been mailed this weekend, so I'm sorry for the long delay.
Don't be sorry. They're getting free shit.
Yeah, but I kind of promised this like a month ago.
Then just be mad at Brandon because he's obviously a fucking liar.
Liar and a failure. We needed a new question. Oh, we got a call, though. Chasen called us for this question.
Hey guys, Jason Chandler here. As far as a kid goes, I guess I wasn't really a Nintendo kid or a Sega kid. I got screwed by having a dad that was a cheapskate and a mom that was wrapped up in the violence controversy of the 90s. So, you know, everything was violent. Everything was going to turn me violent. I didn't get much in the way of consoles as a kid. I don't think I got anything until I was 11, and that was a Game Boy Color. I played lots of consoles, but only at my friends' houses. So, being a Nintendo kid or a Genesis kid, I think I was more of a PC kid. And that had its benefits. Everybody was playing Super Nintendo and Genesis, and, you know, I was first to play Doom Online, and I was first to beat Secret of Monkey Island, and I got to play Quake as soon as it came out, and Epic Pinball, and all sorts of greats. Jazz Jackrabbit, anything legendary PC, you know, I was there for. And when it came to being in the public, I've played a lot of arcade games like everybody. So I prefer Super Nintendo to Genesis now that I have like a lot of older consoles. But I do want to give a shout out to Genesis for being uncensored and more mature, especially when it came to Mortal Kombat or Robocop versus Terminator. All right, guys, take care.
I will agree 150 fucking percent on the he said Robocop versus Terminator argument.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that. I mean, I'm with the Sega argument. That's one thing. Sega did what Nintendo... They weren't too afraid to be a little too edgy.
They had that Tood factor to them, you know. Oh, yeah. 90s Tood. They had a... You know, Nintendo eventually laid off a lot of the censorship with Mortal Kombat, at least. I know at least by 3, it was pretty much full-on gore.
Mortal Kombat 2 had full-on gore in it.
Yeah, did it?
It's just the first one was the...
I knew the first one was censored.
Yeah, I had 2... And 2 is it's full on.
Okay. I played 1 and 3 the most. I kind of skipped out on 2. When 2 came out, I was in Street Fighter 2 Turbo mostly, so.
Sega, I mean, that was one thing that Sega did do right. They had the edgier shit, like Eternal Champions and shit. Like,
yeah.
You know, Nintendo wouldn't have touched that.
Right.
With a fucking cattle prod.
Mutant League.
Yeah.
Mutant League Football. Great game.
A bunch of, you know, they, Nintendo was real big on censoring anything religious-wise, like yeah. they had a cross in it or any of that.
Yeah, and Earthbound's notorious for having crosses censored out.
Sega, you know, they had games like Chaken Forever Man, you know, games that are all essentially built around, like, supernatural somewhat satanic, demonic, demonology elements and shit. You know, things that Nintendo were like, we got too many golden, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, young Aryan men playing our console.
That took a turn.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say, Law?
Nothing.
Okay, then. We need another question for next week. That's a good question.
We usually let our guests come up with a question.
Oh, fantastic.
Put you on the spot.
Something that people who have the attention span of a typical social media user can answer. Anything in depth gets skipped over, typically.
Yeah. Well, frankly, I mean, did y'all ask anyone if they've played any questionable, naughty games?
We have not.
We have not.
Well, maybe you can get a few more to check out. I don't know.
Let's put this in meme form. What's the sexiest games you've played?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the sexiest game you've played?
What do you like about them?
Yeah.
What got you titillated?
Well, I don't know if I'd ask what they like about them.
I want to know.
Ew.
Yeah. I want to know what makes them drip and gooey.
So you can bring
it to the
next episode?
Which video game makes you beat your dick like it owes you money?
Yes.
It's terrible. But valid. Yep. So
that'll be the next week's question.
Give us an answer. Get a free game.
Yep.
We haven't promoted the phone number.
Yeah, give us a call, 682-777 good.
If you don't call us, bad fucking things are gonna happen.
For those of you who haven't called the show, a warning. If you do not call, you will awaken Satan, and infants shall fall from the sky. Bears will feast on the slow and the witless. Vaginas will turn to stone. Serpents rise from the ground. Fly into your sphincter and bite. Demons will travel back in time and rape your father. Hell, Satan! You've been warned.
You have been warned.
We got a couple other calls. Well, technically, they were emailed, but from a Mr. X, also known as Dr. Claw.
Dr. Claw has messaged me back, eh?
I think I might have screwed that one up.
Wow. Was that Dr. Claw or Satan?
Did I fuck these up somehow? I screwed those up, so we'll bring them back. I touched them up to make them sound better, and they're just super slow now.
So you unlock the full demon potential out of both of those sound clips, apparently.
I could just re-download them out of the email again. That will take longer than we got, though.
Just
bring them back next week.
We'll bring them back next week. That's fine. That's cool.
All right.
It's okay.
Yeah. Give us a call.
682-777 good. It gives us wood. Call us. You know you should. Find us on our Facebook, Good Old Gamers Podcast, on our webpage, goodoldgamers.com.
Yep. Twitter at Good Old Gamers.
Stitcher, iTunes.
Tune in.
There's no reason for you to give us reviews. You never have. We're not asking anymore, but if you'd like to, we wouldn't mind
giving
one.
I don't think y'all had the balls to give us reviews.
No cojones.
Yeah.
No cojones. If you get any questions about Game Fest or anything coming up, or like to contribute something to Game Fest, hit us up, let us know. You can also find us, Lyle or Brandon, at goodoldgamers.com.
Mm-hmm.
You want to plug your site one more time? One more again?
Yeah, you can find me at kawaiihousewife.com, where I just write blogs or make videos concerning random crap. So just check that out.
We like random shit around here. We're very random.
Random shit's the best shit.
Well, it really is random, because one day I'll be like, oh, I've tried all these things from Korea, and then the next day it's like, oh, I've watched this really sweet anime or played this game, and the next day it's like, 18 and up, don't read this unless you are of age. Monster girls everywhere.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's just whatever's on your mind, huh?
Yeah, a little bipolar with what I talk about, but I can be, because it's my site.
Oh, I'm the same way. Happy 1 minute and I'm ready. Kill a bunch of Christians the next.
Sounds like a Tuesday.
Shouldn't have said that, should I?
It don't matter.
Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck you, Obama. I know you're listening. Send a drone. I fucking dare you.
Yeah.
Drones never killed anybody.
You say that, and it's going to be like that time all them people from like the Middle East added a sovereign. I better just shut up. Anywho, before we get our heads sawed off with box cutters.
You're the one standing at the window, so if I see a red dot appear, I'm out.
I'm more worried about eggs hitting the window.
The egg lady is
she's always here, but she's never here, but always here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She's omnipresent.
I can look on the disheveled face of every child in every place that's been burned to the ground, and I can see her. I can hear her. Ugh. Anyways.
That's it.
We're 2 hours in.
Yeah.
We did pretty good for once.
Yep.
Well, do we let her sign us off? Do you recall the sign off?
I don't think so. No.
It's a famous quote from the movie Aliens. I ripped it off from there initially.
I've spent all my day with Korean and English, so I'm done with memorizing anything.
Do you know how to say game over man in Korean?
No.
Okay.
Damn it.
I could read it, but say it? No.
That's okay. We'll say it in American.
American.
Until next week, guys. Thanks for listening. Game over, man.
Game over.
Just so moist.